Good morning. It's reading from Psalm 91. It's on page 593 in the Core Bible, if you want to follow it. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but will not come near you.
Okay, continuing on in the theme of temptation, we're going to read some scriptures, and it's entitled The Temptation of Jesus, and it's taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. May God give us understanding of his word today.
How you doing? You had a good week? You okay? Okay. Breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Continue. That's good. Here we're going to talk about first fruits, or I've called it our past, our rescue, and our present blessings. And all being well, if Stacey can keep up with me, you should be able to follow along almost every word I say. Finish this sentence, maybe in your mind, maybe out loud. I worship the Lord best by... So did you finish that sentence by saying maybe something like, I worship the Lord best by singing? I worship the Lord best by praying. I worship the Lord by getting back to nature, by walking along the beach, by having a bushwalk. I worship the Lord best by playing my trombone. If you haven't noticed, not everyone is like you. And there were wives right now. What's up? There were wives right now who were saying, Thank God not everyone is like my husband. We are all different, and we all connect with God in different ways. It doesn't make any particular way right or wrong. It just makes us different. And it's our differences and our diversity that God uses as a living testimony, if you like, to the world, as a declaration of His incredible love and mercy. Think about it. There's male and female, black and white, rich and poor, dumb and clever, old and young, slaves and free. God calls us all sorts of us, to be a living temple or a body, if you like, called the church. So no matter how you connect with God, this passage that I'm going to read to us today reminds us that we won't be moved to do any of those things unless we first worship the Lord by remembering our past, our rescue, and our present blessings. So much of the Bible is strangely about looking back, but it's kind of strange. It's not a looking back to go back, it's a looking back to see how far we've come. So much of the Bible is about prophecy and talking about the future and things that haven't happened yet, but a lot of it, for us anyway, is about looking back. We can look back and move forward, but we can't move back, and we struggle to look forward a lot of times, but that's okay. It's an invitation to reflect upon all God's blessings and provision in the past, a celebration of our rescue and our deliverance, and it's an opportunity to consider all our present blessings through the lens of what God has done in the past, He will do again. And I get a lot of reassurance about that, that God has never failed me, never let me down in the past, and thank God, I'm confident He will not let me down anymore in the future. So, follow along with me as we look at the passage. It's in Deuteronomy, and you're all thinking to yourself, can anything good come out of Deuteronomy? Well, let's have a look. Deuteronomy 26, 11 verses 1 to 11, okay? Follow along. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God. And this is funny. I kind of like this. So, you shall declare before the Lord your God. My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation. However many years it was, went down as 70 people, and years later came out about 2 million. So that was the number of the... Went down as a family, came out as a nation. Very important. Okay. Went down with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. Verse 6. But the Egyptians mistreated us. As you see, suddenly it's not talking about as a historical event. He's putting himself in that, in the shoes of the folks who were there. Suddenly it's about us and we. Even though in this situation, he wasn't there, but he's speaking it as if he were, as everything that happened to his ancestors happened to him, and it becomes personal then, see? Lost my spot. Verse 6. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labour. Then we cried to the Lord our God, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given you and your household. So here I have today, at great expense to the company, that's a bit of a joke, is what we call a visual aid. So here it is, a basket. I couldn't go to Coles and buy a sheaf of wheat, okay? They didn't have a stack of barley that I could, okay? There are traditionally seven offerings that make up what goes into this little basket here. So wheat, barley, grapes, and from grapes you get wine, so you know, wine makes your heart happy, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. And I've thrown in, probably if you were a good Jew, you wouldn't have had your milk. It would have been meh, meh, meh. It would, probably from a goat or something. I've thrown in milk and honey because you are going into a land flowing with milk and honey, right? So, didn't have any wheat, but I've got something that you make wheat from, right? And a little multigrain roll that the nice girl at Baker's Delight assures me has barley in it. So those seven things, wheat, barley, you don't get them in the desert when you're a wandering Aramean, a nomadic tribesman. You got to have fields, you got to have crops, you got to have a vineyard, a date plantation, an olive grove to get all those things. So, do you know pomegranates aren't in season? This is a passion fruit, okay? So pomegranates are sort of special in the Bible because they're all full of seeds. And so this is I could tell you this is a pomegranate, but if you're clever, you would know it's not. But I've got grapes, I've got olives, I've got figs, I've got dates, I've even got some goat cheese. So I've got my morning tea sorted, okay? So this is the offering. This is what you would come. Drop some cheese on the ground, don't tell Liz. Okay. This is what you would come when you come into the land and you would present this basket of goodies before the Lord, and you would make this declaration. Here's the curious thing. This passage in Deuteronomy is looking forward to a time that hasn't happened yet. And when you get there, you look back to this event that they're talking about and do these things. So here in Deuteronomy, this has happened before they'd even entered the Promised Land, before Jerusalem was the capital, before the temple was constructed, before they'd planted any seeds or reaped a harvest. Moses is telling them, this is what you're going to do when you get into the land. So this passage looks forward to something that hadn't even happened yet. And when they're there, it encourages them to look back to this moment to see how far they'd come and how they got there. It's about being aware of your ancestry, your history, and the journey that has made you and brought you to here and now. That's pretty cool, I think. It's interesting that this whole process of presenting a basket of fresh produce before the Lord and reciting an ancestral history lesson is for our learning, okay? Any ancient Israelites present? No? All Gentiles then, are we? Okay? So even though... I've got a lovely guy at Lakes, and we will often have battles because he says most of the Old Testament is not for me. And I kind of go, well, here's how I look at it. If it's in the Bible, it's for me. Okay? He says, no, if you're not a Jew, it doesn't apply to you. And I kind of go, well, yeah, but I'm adopted into the family, so yeah, I will take it. If there's a promise in there, I'll take it for me. And so we differ, but it's a nothing thing. So the whole purpose of this passage written here is for us here now today. Okay? It encourages us to look at our present situation and look back and remember. And again, we don't look back to go back, we look back to see how far we've come. Let me just read that. I think we can all benefit from an occasional looking back at our past, a remembrance of our rescue, and an expression of gratitude for all the blessings we are currently experiencing. Give me the next slide. Okay. As an overview, the words that they recited before the Lord recalled the saving actions of God reaching back through the story of their ancestors. Now, we've just read it, okay? It talks about their initial homelessness. My father was a wandering Aramean. It talks about their migration to Egypt. He went down to Egypt with a few people. It talks about their suffering there in Egypt. The Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer. It talks about their cry to God for redemption. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers. It talks about their deliverance from slavery, a thing so ingrained on the psyche of present-day Jews and Israelites that they will never be slaves again. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And finally, it talks about their settling into a fertile land, the land that he promised to give us to my fathers and your fathers. He brought us to this place and gave us this land. It's about looking. It's interesting that this whole process of presenting a basket before the Lord and reciting a history lesson, sorry, I lost my spot, is for our learning and our instruction. It's to encourage us to look back and remember. And once again, we don't look back to go back, we look back to see how far we've come. Let me explain. There are things in our past that we hope no one will ever find out. Yeah? Yeah, don't put your hands up, okay? There are things that I have done that I am mortifiably ashamed about that I hope you will never know. I will never tell you. There are things we've left behind and things we hope that we have silenced forever long ago in our ancient history. But bad news, there's two things I need you to know. Number one, these two things are important. Number one, all those things that you're totally ashamed about, that you would drop dead on the spot if someone ever found out, God already knows. God already knows. That's the bad news. The good news is he still loves us anyway. All that nasty stuff you've done in your past, all those mistakes you made when you were a stupid teenager, or that just yesterday, if your wife tells you. God knows, and he still loves us anyway. And number two, this is also important. Ooh, the mistakes we made in the past have shaped us and made us into the people we are today. If you eliminate the mistakes in your past, you also eliminate the wisdom and the growth that may have resulted from those mistakes. Now you can give me a click. So going back, that and changing the past is not an option for us. So God does one better. He takes away the sting of the failure and he bathes it in his love and forgiveness so that it might never trouble us again. I find that pretty exciting. Sorry, just got to find my spot on my notes so I know where I am up there. It was only when the prodigal son had reached rock bottom that he was able to think of his home and his father's love. Had he never sunk so far, he might never have come to that realization. So, remembering our past and our past mistakes, not necessarily even our past victories or our past salvation or anything, no matter how painful or filled with failure it may have been, is important. But the prodigal son didn't stay in the pig pen, and neither should we. We remember our past, but we also remember our rescue. Many people tell me, I hear this all the time, oh, I could never tell someone about Jesus. And I say, well, why not? It's pretty simple. You don't have to have some highfalutin, fangled, complicated process. It's pretty simple. You just say, I used to be one way, then I met Jesus, now I'm altogether different. And that's a little picture of Mary there from a series called The Chosen, which you can download it and watch it for free, or you can pay for it, or you can now get it from Koorong. There's a couple of series out. This is Mary Magdalene, and she has an encounter with Nicodemus. Not Nicodemus. Oh, well... no, I think it was Nicodemus, one of the priests. And he's asking her, because he saw her when she was an absolute mess and demon-possessed, and he thought he'd done something for her, and she said, no, I was one way, and now I'm completely different. The thing that happened in between was him. It was that, and that's all we have to do to tell someone about Jesus. We just got to say, you know, I was a stupid teenager, I made some mistakes, I did some stupid things, then I met Jesus, and now I'm the fine upstanding citizen you see before me, still making mistakes, still stuffing up, but still just trying to make a difference in the world as we go. Now you can give me a click. You see, we didn't pull ourselves up out of the gutter. We didn't forgive our own sins and mistakes. We didn't just wake up one day and decide, I'm going to be good after being evil for 30 years. No. We needed a saviour. We needed a rescuer. We needed Jesus. And that's the difference. You can't do it by yourself. You cannot save yourself. You need a saviour. I often say, this is kind of funny, it doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are, if somebody picks you up and plonks you in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, you are not going to make it. Okay? It's going to be a long way to any island. You need a boat. You need a helicopter. You need a rescuer. You need a saviour. Doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are, you're not going to make it. I didn't know if I should put this one in. Just cast your eyes candidly around the room. Every single person you see here is a sinner. Every single person you see here needs a saviour. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. I'm the wretch that the song Amazing Grace talks about. And so are you. So we not only recall and remember our rescue, but we recall and remember our rescuer. Because I cannot save myself. I have come to that conclusion long ago. Which brings us to our present blessings. No matter how bad it is for you, do you know there are people out there right now who will never have what you have right now? If you woke up in a bed, in a house that's warm and dry, if you can walk and talk, if you have a refrigerator with power, with some food in it, if you have clothes and shoes and hot water, I tell you what, of all the things I'm grateful for, I love hot water. These are some things that some people don't have and some people will never have. Consider your present blessings. There are some people today, hands up, who woke up today? Yeah, there are some people who didn't wake up today. And they would really rather have woken up today. Wasn't it a shock about Shane Warne? Okay, he probably would have really rather woken up. So the question is, are we thankful? Are we grateful for what we do have? Or instead of complaining about that we just don't have enough, you already have way more than a lot of folks in the world who will never have even remotely some of the blessings that we have. So let's look at the last verse, verse 11 in our little passage. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing abroad, bring everybody, because this is something that we are going to rejoice and get excited about. You shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given you and your household. That's what this passage is about. It's about looking back at our past, remembering our rescue, and celebrating our present blessings. So you take your little basket of goodies and you present it to the priest, and you make that declaration before the Lord that my father was a wandering Aramean. We went down to Egypt as a family and we came out as a nation. We cried to the Lord. The Egyptians were nasty to us. And you, God, have brought us into the land that you promised us. And you go and you bow down before the Lord because you are so grateful for the land and for the journey that you've been on, that's taken generations and decades and centuries to arrive at this point, but we are so grateful that we've made it. We are so grateful that we are here. That's what this passage is all about. Looking back at our past, remembering our rescue, and celebrating our present blessings. And that, my friends, is something we are all capable of. Amen. Don't eat my morning tea. So Oh, it's my bit again. This brings us to the end of our meeting. I don't know if I've told you, I've told every other church I've been in, that the benediction is actually my favourite part of the meeting. And everyone has a kind of an odd chuckle about that, because it's like, oh, great, church is over, we can get out of here. No, it's not meant to be like that. This is God's last great opportunity to bless us and send us on our way from here, where it's safe, to out there where the world is, where we're supposed to make a difference. Okay? Church is just a place where we come to recharge our batteries, to go out there to make a difference. So here's this little benediction from Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Have a wonderful week. No matter what happens to you, you can make that decision right now that you are going to have a great week, regardless of what may happen and what may come your way. Because here's a secret: there is nothing going to come your way this week that you and God can't handle together. Amen?